Welcome you this morning to the Lord's house. We want to commence our worship, please, with number 46, O Worship the King. Let's stand as we praise him today. Let's bow our hearts, please, before the Lord now in prayer. Father, as we come into thy holy presence this morning, we do so on the ground of Christ our Redeemer, on that ground that we know, Lord, we cannot be refused. We cannot be turned away. And that gives to us today hope and confidence that we stand not by our own good things, by our own good thinking or thoughts, by some kind of upbringing. But we stand, Lord, today clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And we approach thy holy throne in and through his all-powerful, prevailing name. And so, Father, as we commence our service, and as we have done so by the singing of this hymn, we rejoice today that, Lord, you are our defender. You are the one who has gone preparing all for our good and for your glory. And as we think of that profound catechism question about man's chief end, it is to glorify our God, to enjoy thee forever. Help us, we pray today, Lord, to set aside all things that would distract us and hinder our worship. Help us, Lord, today to enter in with joy and thanksgiving and worship, confessing our sins, praying that there would be nothing, Lord, to hinder our worship, our approach, nothing to hinder us receiving from the Word of God the direction and instruction and correction that we need. Lord, come to hear and answer our prayer mightily, speedily. We are asking in Jesus' name and for His honor and glory. Father, we have come from this past week of some extra times of prayer and times where we heard the Word of God, times where we shared with the testimonies and the witness and the encouragements and the prayer requests of many of Your people. And Lord, we are very thankful for meeting with us. Very thankful, Lord, in spite of our own weakness and inconsistencies. We know, Lord, that You are faithful always to respond to Your promises, to come to the aid of the people. And so, Lord, today we offer our thanksgiving for the blessings that we have experienced. But Lord, also knowing that so often the devil is never far away, whenever blessings come, he will try to bring his discouragements and temptations. And Lord, we pray against the working of Satan in every heart, in every family, that we might, Lord, be clothed and equipped and empowered by the Spirit of God, enabling us to go on, go forward, go higher up the mountain with our Lord. Father, work in our souls, we pray. Lord, how often have we sought Your name for reviving, for a stirring of heart, for a deepening of our understanding of the Scripture so that Christ would be made known to us more perfectly? Father, this has been our prayer constantly. And we acknowledge and give thanks for the advances that have been made. But Lord, we see that there is much more ground to cover, much more to be yet possessed. Isn't that what Joshua said, Lord, to the people? As there was land yet to be possessed, and the people were slack, they had to put away the gods that they had in their own homes. And I pray, Lord, that we will hear that echo, that reverberation of those words, and so that we might go to say, yes, Lord, there is much land to be possessed. Fill us with Your Spirit, enabling us to go forward to do just that, for the glory of Jesus and for the extension of Your kingdom. Lord, hear our prayer today. We give ourselves again into Your hands. We dedicate, Lord, ourselves to Your great purpose and cause. And we pray the honor of our Savior. Make us, we pray, those who can share our testimonies and point others to Jesus. We ask, Lord, to answer that prayer abundantly to us. Make each one of us, this congregation of people, soul-winning Christians, and double our capacity. Bring in people who need the gospel. Bring in, we pray, Lord, those who are hungry for the Word. Bring in young people, children, into our Sunday school, young people into our youth and adult groups. And Lord, not that we dare to boast in anything that we think we have done, but we will acknowledge and say, Lord, this is our God's doing, and it is wonderful, marvelous in our eyes. And we will give glory to your holy name. So hear our prayers today. Remember, Lord, again, our sick ones. We're thankful for several being able to be back with us today. And we know, Lord, some are at home. Bless them today, the word to their hearts and a touch to their bodies. Remember grieving ones. We pray for your healing touch and comfort into their hearts. Remember all of our churches across Canada. We pray, Lord, for your hand to be upon them, to bless them. And remember every faithful tongue that is proclaiming Christ in all his fullness. We ask, Lord, for added blessings. Hear our prayer today. Encourage us now. We ask all of these things in Jesus' mighty and holy name. Amen. Psalm 145, please, and we will stand again to worship. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Nahum, chapter 1. The prophecy of Nahum, the first chapter, and we're reading the first seven verses. the burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. There could be no safer place than to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If you today are a friend of God, then you are in a safe and a blessed and a happy place. But we read in the Scripture that our God is a consuming fire. The world hates to think of a God in that dimension. The world cannot abide thinking about a God who would take vengeance on his enemies, a God who will do justly and to bring the just reward to those who are ungodly. And yet, my friends, it's very important for us not to have misguided views of the living God, not to have some small, narrow, human-centered thoughts, but to allow God's holy word to speak for itself, to allow the God of heaven to communicate who he is, what he is about, and what he will accomplish, and how that those who dare to stand against the Lord, who dare, as Pharaoh did, to raise his hand and shake his fist in the face of the Holy One of heaven, well, that will not end in a good place. And yet we have here, friend, mixed in this very solemn reading from the opening verses of the prophet Nahum, we have the truth that the Lord is slow to anger. He is plenteous in mercy. I'm thankful about that today. I'm thankful about that for the days that God strove with me while I was yet in my sin, when the Lord strove with me in my rebellion, and when he puts up with me, even at this time when we resist his will, don't listen to his leading, go our own direction, have to be spoken to again and again. Yes, friend, we're talking about us, his people. The Lord is slow to anger. He is plenteous in mercy. And we know that He is the one we flee to in the day of our trouble, in the day where we need refuge against the raising of the angry arm of the enemies of our God. But He is sovereign, He is in control, and we can rejoice in that today. For there are many circumstances as we see around us that would make us wonder, where is the Lord? Where's His hand? We don't see it as much as we think we should be seeing it. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, let us not at all lose confidence or hope today, but to stand firmly in the center of His will and on the promises of His holy and precious word. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. We want to welcome you today to our service this morning. We're very glad that you're here in person. And if you're not able to be here, we know that some in our fellowship are not feeling too well, a little bit set aside. And we pray for them. And we want to encourage us to pray for others. And as you're at home watching online today, please keep us in your prayers that the Lord will meet with us and He will bless us. Remember, please, our brother David McAnally. He suffered a minor heart attack this past week. And yet, when you think about it, I suppose no heart attack is really minor. It can be very serious. And he has been kept in the hospital, waiting further tests, and yet to know what the outcome of all that will be. So remember our brother David, please, in your prayers. And we have, as I've mentioned, many others who need our intercession, who need our prayers at this time. And so we hold them up to the Lord. I have a thank you card here from our sister Beverly Campbell, and I would like you just to read this. To Pastor Saunders and our brothers and sisters in Christ, it is with sincere gratitude that my family wishes to thank you all for your unwavering support and outpouring of love on the passing of our mother, Maslin Campbell. While we struggle to accept her passing, you have made such a positive impact on our lives with your generosity, thoughtfulness, and compassion. Thank you so much. We are blessed to have you from the Campbell family. So let's continue to hold up our sister Beverly and the other members of the family at this particular time. The Christmas card fund that we were collecting all through December and into January, as some of those funds came in, it reached almost $7,000, and so we want to thank everyone for their faithful contribution to that. The session and board are deciding just now how that's going to be expended as we look to do some necessary upgrades and improvements in the church building here. So thank you again for your thoughtfulness and your prayers. Let me encourage you, please, to take the latest copy of LTBS. That's the magazine from Northern Ireland and also really all of the radio ministry in the world. And there are some interesting articles there for you. And this magazine features on the seven sayings of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And so I think you'll find that to be a blessing to you. You can pick up a copy as you leave today. This afternoon, our prayer time is at 5:50, and our evening service will be at 6:30. And tonight, in the will of the Lord, I want to begin a study in the book of Daniel, the book of Daniel. And I do hope that you will be praying for me as we go through that study, and the Lord will make it useful in your own Christian walk. I want to take an extensive look at an introduction of that book tonight and consider some of the reasons why it is one of the most contested and doubted and maligned book in the Old Testament. There are some important reasons for that. And as we look at some of those and have our hearts encouraged by the fact that the Lord has given that prophecy to us, that book in His Word, it will be an encouragement to us, I trust. Wednesday evening, we want to continue in our time of Bible study and prayer, and let's not let down at all from the blessings we enjoyed last week from Monday to Thursday. We met each night via Zoom, and we had blessed times of prayer and around the Word of God. We're thankful for Brother Cranston on Tuesday night and Reverend Gallagher on Wednesday night as they shared with us the Word of the Lord. And then on Thursday night, you all had an opportunity, well, those at least who were able to get in, it was a full night of giving testimony and praise to the Lord, and what a blessing that was. And so if you did not get an opportunity to share, as I said on Thursday, well, you'll be up first next time we do this, and so make a note and acknowledge how the Lord has had His hand upon you. Our services next Lord's Day will be at the regular times. Our Sunday school at 9:55 in the morning, Bible classes. And then we want to have our communion service next Lord's Day after the morning service. So please keep that in mind before the Lord. Those are all the ministry announcements we're thinking about. We're going to sing again to the Lord's praise. And we're doing number 392, The Solid Rock. And if you want to put in your offering for the ministry here, the plate is on the table as you leave today. And I encourage you to either do that through your offering envelope with a check or cash if you so desire. And then if you would like to use the e-transfer process, that's also possible. Or you can use your cards as well. And there's instruction online how to conduct that. Remain seated, please, while we sing. I invite you to stand as we sing the first verse again, and lifting our hearts and our voices to the Lord. My hope is built on nothing less. Please turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. We're going to read the first 13 verses. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he saith unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called The Word of God. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Dear Father, we pray now for the help of the Spirit of God to direct our thinking, our praying, taking away, Lord, from our minds silly distractions, May our attention be upon the Word of God, the Christ, the one who has saved us from our sins and set us with an eternal inheritance that will never be taken away from us. We are a people blessed beyond measure. Dear Lord, I pray for help today to be anointed with the fresh oil of God, that unction from heaven. Help me, Lord, to speak thy holy word faithfully and plainly, clearly. Lord, save, we pray, souls today. Bless us now, we ask in Jesus' holy and great name. Amen. Great hope when our faith is faint. Great hope when our faith is faint. Maybe you have wondered why it is that at every service we have, we start off with some sort of singing, some sort of song. Why is that? The reason behind that, my dear friends, is quite simply that our singing is a part of our worship to the Lord. And so when we come into the house of God, as we have done today, and we begin our service by singing, there's no necessarily biblical mandate that it has to be in that order. We could well start with prayer. We could start in some other way. But we choose, in the good habit and custom that has come down to us from the history of the church, as people begin worship, we begin with singing. Singing is a great joy for the people of God. At least it should be. Because singing is an opportunity for the congregation to be engaged in worship. There is an act of public worship that you enter into as you come to sing unto the Lord. I don't know if we really appreciate that truth as much as we should. I speak of myself. There are times when we can come into God's presence and we can begin a service or we can carry on amidst of the service and our minds might not be engaged in what we're singing. We might be somewhat distant. But dear brothers and sisters, today there is a cause for us to rejoice in and to give thanks unto the Lord. And as we come to sing both psalms and hymns, we offer unto the Lord and these vehicles of worship. They speak of the glory and of the majesty of God. They talk about our salvation. They talk about our eternal hope of what it means to be forgiven of our sins and having the joy of the Lord in our hearts. Many times the words of Scripture captured and communicated by song, they have been that light to shine on a weary and a saddened heart, to lift up and to encourage and to strengthen the soul as we are giving glory to God and thanksgiving for what He has done for us. Is it not true that you have experienced, if not in the actual house of God as we are offering our hymns of praise, but it has been when you are at your workplace. You're in the house doing some task. You're cutting the grass or shoveling the snow, and hopefully your songs of praise to the Lord will be, "Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow?" And not any other thoughts that you might be thinking about shoveling, but about our daily work and opportunities that are given to us. It is when that song that you maybe sung the past Lord's Day, or something that has been impressed upon your heart, it might be a Sunday school chorus, boys and girls, for you can sing and hum those choruses to yourself before you go to sleep at night. And they can bring great joy to your heart, great satisfaction and peace. There is, my dear brothers and sisters, a great blessing that has come down through the history of the Christian church in songs of thanksgiving and worship and praise to the Lord. And where did all this come from, you ask? Was this just some idea that people had? Well, let's worship God in this way. No, because if that had have been man's origin, it would not have lasted very long. It would not have been profitable. But I say to you, on the authority of Scripture, that God has instituted our song. The Lord in His Word has given to us the privilege of praising Him. He has blessed us with the opportunity of singing to Him. And we add, as often we do in this juncture, that it does not matter how well you carry a note. It doesn't matter, dear friends, if you can read the music scale, because the song from the heart of the child of God is this: it is a song of praise to our Lord. And He receives that from you, friend, in tune or out. The great joy that we have is offering our congregational prayers and praises to Him, and the thanksgiving and worship and praise that comes from every believer's heart. The Scripture here in Revelation 19, it has one of the greatest songs of praise to God. As the final stages of Christ's triumphant victory over His enemies is accomplished, the Lord Jesus Christ, we are told here in Revelation 19, is the true and the faithful witness. And when He returns to this world, it is not if, my friends. It is when Christ returns to this world, it will be to judge the world in righteousness. The Lord will be appearing the second time, not in the humility that He came with on His first appearance. It will not be to submit Himself to earthly authorities. It will not be to be abused by sinful and wicked men. It will be in power and great glory. It will be in such a way that those who are His enemies will call for the mountains and the rocks to fall upon them and hide them from the face of the Lamb, the Son of God, the ruler of heaven and earth. For when He comes back, He will come in all His resplendent power and glory. He is described here as having eyes as a flame of fire. You know, when the Lord Jesus appeared to Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road, we're given the description that Jesus appeared brighter than the noonday sun, and they could not look upon him. Have you tried to stare at the sun in the sky? You cannot do it. You cannot look at the sun, for your eyes will be hurt. And yet Jesus is described to us as brighter than the sun that shines in our sky, and his eyes as a flame of fire burning with the intensity of his power and majesty and glory. That is how he will be coming back. And his head crowned with many crowns. Chapter 19 of Revelation, it gives to us one of the greatest unified songs of praise unto the Lord. And the content of this song is salvation, glory, honor, and power unto the Lord. Why is this song in chapter 19 made? Well, verse 2 gives us the answer. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. If you were to read carefully Revelation 17 and 18, this is talking about mystery Babylon the Great. The reformers, almost to a man, believed unquestionably that this was the Roman Catholic institution, mystery Babylon the Great. The Lord says here that he will call to account and hold accountable the blood of all his servants that have been martyred at her hands. This completely godless organization that wielded such power and such influence on the kings of the earth and the merchants and the people will come to a day of destruction. An anti-Christian movement, this destruction of mystery Babylon the Great caused rejoicing in the hearts of the Lord's people. Chapter 18 and verse 20, it says, "Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her." And in verse 7 of chapter 19, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come." Yes, of course, there is the rejoicing because of that great feast that the Lord has prepared. But before that could be realized, all of the enemies of Christ will be destroyed. In verse 6, we have a choir that is unlike any other choir that has ever been. And the theme of the song of this choir that has been giving thanks to the Lord for overturning all of the enemies that have lifted a hand, that have lifted a voice, that have worked tirelessly to spread the demise of Christianity. Verse 6, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Friend, this is the climactic theme of the children of God. This is the theme that you and I have in our hearts. And it will be that for all eternity, but what would it mean to us if we grasp it here and now? Is it something that is suitable for us to possess? Is it within the warrant of our faith and of the Scriptures that we would have this theme? And I would say to you with all my heart and on the authority of the Word of God, most definitely, yes. And the more that you and I possess this theme, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, then our faith that is hindered by our weakness and our fainting fits, when it is put within the proper context of this great theme, it will be a cure for us. The first thought I leave with you this morning then is simply this: the cure for our timid faith. I know that we are so often together in the same boat on this point that we lament over our weak faith. We often say, as the disciples did, "Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief." So many things are against us. They were against the disciples. They were against the prophets. They were against the apostles and the New Testament Christians. And yes, they continue to be so against the church, the faithful, Bible-believing, Christ-honoring followers of the Lord in our day now. There has always been opposition, and believer, there always will be. Do not be ever deceived by that great truth. But what we're faced with so often, we say, we feel, "Lord, our faith is so weak. We are so helpless. Help, Lord, and come and strengthen us. Pour out your grace." And as we are thinking on that theme and praying to that end, let this verse of Revelation 19, verse 6, be an anchor to your soul. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Yes, Lord, that truth will carry me through. The fact that I know my Savior and He is known of me, that He has washed me from my sin, that I have a standing and a righteous position in Him. I can be strengthened in my weak faith, and no matter what the circumstance says to us, no matter what the devil comes to say to us, and maybe he's whispering it to you right now in the center of your trial, listen not to those lies, but rather stand into your possessions and take what the Lord has given to us. Joshua again had to say to the people, "There is much land to be possessed. What are you waiting for? Go up and take that which God has given to you." And let us take of that remedy that the Lord has given to us. It is, my dear friends, a daily and a fresh sight by faith of the glory and the power of our risen and reigning Christ. For all things that we face, when put in light of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and the fact that you and I, who are alive in Him, will rise from the dead as well, absent from our bodies, present with the Lord for time and for eternity. It will bring our lives and our earthly purpose for why we have been created and why we have been redeemed, it will bring it into focus. In Romans 4 and verse 20, We're told about Abraham. The Apostle Paul says Abraham staggered not at the promise of God because of unbelief. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Abraham was strong in faith because his faith was simple. He believed that what the Lord said to him, God was not only able to do, but he would do. Isn't that something novel? Actually believing what God has said. Ah, my dear friends, today I pray that God would encourage your heart, that He would strengthen you. It is holding up God at His word and believing that it's impossible for the Lord to lie that gives us very strong confidence and unwavering courage in the face of some very extreme trials and obstacles. The Savior often commended the no-name followers, if we could put it that way, that believed in Him. God had sent His Messiah, and that the Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ was believed by many who never even were named in the New Testament. Some were, but they believed through the briefest of testimonies. They believed through the very slimmest of proofs that the Son of God had come, and that He was not just a rabbi, He wasn't just a teacher, but the one sent from God to bring salvation from sin. They believed that Jesus could do all things that He said. And their faith was very simple. And it rested upon the very faith and trust they had in the Lord and receiving from Christ the highest commendation. Remember what Nathanael said when the Lord Jesus spoke to him and he seemed to be wondering when Messiah would come, was indeed this one that he was told about, Messiah? And when Jesus said to him, Nathanael, I saw you under the fig tree. I saw you, Nathanael, there. And obviously Nathanael had been off by himself, and he didn't tell anyone where he was going. No one knew that he was there in the privacy and solace of that moment and hour. And what was Nathanael doing when he was under that tree? Well, I would suggest to you he was communing with the Lord. He was praying unto the God of heaven. And when Jesus said to Nathanael, I saw you, he knew then that the God with whom he was communing under that fig tree was indeed the Messiah that had now was standing in front of him. And Nathanael believed. And he said, Lord, I believe that you are indeed the promised Messiah that was to come. His faith was clarified by so simple an understanding. When the Syrophoenician woman pleaded with Jesus to heal her sick daughter, devil-possessed, and the Lord really turned her away, as she was a Gentile and the Lord ignored her, still she persevered and she would not be turned away. And because of her belief in hearing about the Messiah, as a Gentile, not even having received the oracles of the law of God, not being brought up in a Jewish home, only hearing the testimony of the coming Messiah. And this dear woman, outside of those who were the called, children of the Lord, nationally speaking. Yet Jesus said to her, "Great is thy faith." Simple faith. This was because she saw more than just a human Christ in front of her. She saw the living God, whose power over the world and every demonic influence was unlimited. "Lord, have mercy upon my daughter. I know that you can heal her." And so the Lord responded. What about that centurion, another Gentile? And he said, "Lord, my servant is sick." And as Christ was on his way to his house, he sent a servant and said, No, Lord, I'm not worthy you even come under my house. Just give the command. You're far away, but I believe in you." And what faith that man had in the Messiah who had come. And Jesus said, "I have not seen so great faith, no, not in all of Israel." That centurion, that Syrophoenician, they saw in Christ Jesus the omnipotent God as he had come down to this world. And they trusted in him, and they rested in him, and they believed in him, as you have done today, my dear friends. I'm not saying that Nathanael or the centurion or the Syrophoenician ever had their times of doubt in their life. They would not be human if they did not. There undoubtedly were challenges that the devil would have pounded against their life in times after that. But they lifted their hearts. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let this truth, my dear friends, of the reigning King of Kings and Lord of Lords, let it fill your hearts today with joy and hope and peace. And let it replace sometimes our timidity, sometimes our fearing of the face of men. Let it be replaced with a simple trusting and resting in him and knowing who he is and that he is coming back again and that our hope is strong and certain in his power and in his providence. And the more we dwell upon the omnipotent and all-powerful one that inhabits eternity, for and there is no searching of his understanding. His power extends beyond all of our mental capacity and all of the expanses of time and space. Christ is omnipotent over all his creation. Every angel, every archangel, every devil, and every man. He is not only omnipotent in power, but he is almighty in his mercy. And that's why we can give out the gospel call to unbelievers. That's why we're able to say and share to those who are unsaved, "Flee to Christ. You will find him a willing and a welcoming Savior. As you confess your sin and repent of your iniquity, and we say to you, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Do not put it off until some future time. Don't be like the rich young ruler who went away from the Lord sad because he had placed his riches and his wealth before Christ. Don't be like those whom Paul witnessed to, Festus, Agrippa. Some more convenient time I'll call on you, Lord." No, let us not delay, friends. The devil would try to make people believe, just as he did with Eve, that the Lord is not merciful to you. And really, he's holding back out something from you. As he convinced Eve that really, if you only took of that fruit, you'd be like God. And you're missing out. And really what the devil continues to do in our day, he puts that block, that obstacle in front of sinners, and he would say, no, don't go in that direction, but take this direction. And if you only took the direction of knowledge and pleasure and fulfillment, that will be the ticket to happiness and satisfaction. The devil is still at his work today. And yet to trust, my dear friend, in an omnipotent God is to realize that he is able to save. He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. And then when we receive the Lord as our own, we will rest upon his sovereign providence and purpose, because he is the ruler of heaven and earth. And through his power and his wisdom and goodness, all things are operating for his plan and are going to come to that complete fulfillment. Of course, the message of this sovereign God is rejected by the world, and we understand why it would be. They don't want to acknowledge that a God is all-powerful and all-controlling and sovereign. Many don't even acknowledge that there is such a God, because to acknowledge him means I am accountable to him. Friends, even in the ordinary events of life, when others will see things just in their regular course of just happening, the man of faith, the woman of faith, we will observe and see these things as part of the unfolding plan of our loving God. And so amid the uncertainty and the fluctuation of hopes and fears, we need not be afraid, for we trust in the Lord and we are waiting upon him. And how excellent are his ways, and his purposes are beyond our measure of comprehension. Therefore, we'll just say, Lord, I trust in you. I cannot see. I do not know. But I will rest in my omnipotent, all-powerful Lord, because Jesus does all things well. And you can trust in him for that. Friend, this great truth of Revelation 19, verse 6, it is in the second place today the answer to every lie of the devil. Satanic opposition to the Word and the work of God is not new, we know that. The devil would have every child of God doubt the Word and question the work that God is currently doing. How does he work? Well, we have some boys and girls in the church today, and maybe you're listening online at home. You know, the devil comes to you, he whispers to a young child, and he said, the Lord is really not able to protect you. He's really not able to keep you safe, because there are many dangers out there, and they are great, and there are many forces that are great. And if you think you're going to trust in the Lord, you're going to be disappointed. Boys and girls, let me tell you today that that's a lie of the devil. And don't listen to that lie. For the God that we worship and that you worship is one who is able to save you and to keep you in every stage of your life, right until the time where you go to meet him. But maybe you're here today, or you're listening online, and you're a new convert. You just came to the Lord not long ago, and the devil would whisper into your mind and heart and say, you're never going to keep this. You're never going to be able to make it. This whole thing is just like a flash in the pan. This religion thing, this acceptance of Jesus thing. Look at how many other people have gone down this road, and they've ended up failing, and they've fallen by the wayside. And you're just going to be another number. And so the devil whispers that deceptive thought to a new convert. And friend, if you are trusting in your own strength or power, indeed you will fall down by the wayside. But not, my dear friends, when you are trusting and resting in the promises of God's holy word. We are kept by the power of God. And to the Christian who's been on the road for some time, do you think that you're really going to persevere to the end? Are you really going to be able to keep this salvation to your elder years? Surely you're going to fall by the wayside. And the devil comes to place doubts about God's unfaithfulness or doubts about those who have disappointed you around you in the course of your Christian life. And you look to people and you will find, yes, I have been disappointed. But when you lift your eyes to the living God, you will find there is no disappointment in your Savior. And you've been a faithful soldier on the road, and you've trusted in the Lord with all your heart, and then the devil will come and whisper in your ear that you're leaning on a conqueror or a victor that will ultimately disappoint you and let you down. You're believing in a lie. And the devil comes with another doubt. He puts that seed in your heart. And when we are faced with those doubts, brothers and sisters, we must bring the promises of God's word back to our hearts again. Those promises that the Lord has given to us. And you could find no greater word than what we've been thinking about today. Maybe you've been depending on that word and that promise, and you have proved God to be accurate and faithful to you, and you may rest upon that, and you may trust the Lord in it, and it doesn't matter, because the devil will come with his lies or half-truths. He will distort the truth to us, and he will come with a subtle voice. Be listening and be aware of how the devil will come. Because we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And the antidote and cure of our timid faith and the wrestling and victory over the lies of the devil, they will come to us by God's holy and precious word. And we'll be able to boldly affirm, this God is my God forever and forever. He is the creator of the ends of the earth, and he does not faint, and neither is he weary. And my great and omnipotent Lord is coming back again. And my dear friends, this, in the final place today, it gives us a reason to worship the Lord. It gives us a cause to honor and to praise him in our worship. Let us be glad as the saints here in heaven were rejoicing in the seventh verse. Let us be glad and rejoice and honor Him, for we are saved from our sin. We know it's well with our soul. For we know we have the hope of eternal life abiding within us. For every evidence in this life, we see the tender love of our God toward us. He is so merciful and so kind and so gracious that this God will complete what He intends in our life. You might look at your existence now and you wonder, what is my purpose? I don't know and see it being fulfilled. Wait and trust in the Lord and cast yourself upon Him. Because God will perfect that which concerns us. He will complete what He is doing. Let us therefore, my dear friends, be strong in faith. Let us take a page out of Abraham's book and simply believe the promises that God has given to us. He has given us those promises in salvation for our life's journey and unto the end, when we will gather and we will be seated at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I wonder, friend, today, will you be there on that day? Let's bow, please, in prayer. Dear Father, take the word today, your holy word, spoken in human weakness, and yet, Lord, the Holy Spirit's able to apply it. And I pray that will be the case for every child of God. Save precious souls, we ask, in Jesus' holy name. We're going to sing as a closing hymn today. Number 42. Praise ye the Lord. Number 42. Let's stand as we sing. Father, take us now to our places in the strength and joy and help of the Holy Spirit. And may the Savior be exalted in our lives. Make use of us, Lord, we pray. Keep us in the Spirit on the Lord's day. We ask in the Savior's name. Amen.